Blog Talk Radio.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone.
Our number one has been staffed and our five has been staffed.
Hey, I'm going to call from Washington. I am in a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty?
The aircraft is erratic again. Problem, are you ready?
Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Betty? Betty?
A plane just hit the World Trade Center.
What?
The 737?
It what?
Like the World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
Fuel, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, and it's not looking good, I just want you to know I absolutely love you. I want you to do good. So happy to sign. Same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you, and I'll see you later. Bye, babe.
Oh my God, so both towers are now.
Okay, Foxy, I got an aircraft that's south east of the White House.
Hello?
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your town.
Yeah, stop all the Parkers.
Pentagon just got hit. Don't throw me in that. God damn it, I can't even protect my NCA.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
Hey! United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center right then.
I got that piece of dock. Keep remaining sitting. You have a ball board.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
We're 56865. We have, I believe it is a Boeing 757. Can you see him up there, sir?
That's concurrent. It looks like he's rocking his wings.
Roger.
He's rocking back and forth.
We're 56865. I advise you stay away from that aircraft. Go north. Fast as you can.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Sean, it's me. I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and we just wanted you to know that I love you always.
At number 2, World Trade Center, right.
I'm on the 83rd floor.
I'm going to die, aren't I?
No. Say
I'm going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
We're
going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
I'm going to die. No.
Type of war. That's what it is.
Well, welcome. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show. We're doing a memorial special tonight, 9/11, the Exceptional Memories. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show. We host Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we'll be recognising with great respect the sacrifices of all those who ran towards danger 18 years ago today. Pastor, writer, commentator and chief executive officer of the Exceptional Conservative Network, Mr. Kenneth McClinton, makes a welcome return to our show as we join forces with TECN for special simulcast marking this solemn occasion. We will never forget the dead, the injured, the damaged and the aggrieved of 9/11. As we celebrate the heroes of that time, we repeat our steadfast oath, no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. And I did pause there just for a second when I was listening to what was going on there. And it's just, I was like on a time trip back into the past. But also, I've got to welcome, and I know these two great gentlemen are here in the studio with me, and that's my wingman, Mr. Dave Agador, and of course, Mr. Kenneth McClinton joins us this evening. So, good evening, gentlemen. Absolutely awesome to have you both here this evening. God bless you both.
Ken, please, as the guest, please announce yourself, sir.
Good evening to all of you, and good afternoon to the U.S. I'm Ken McClinton. I'm the host of the Exceptional Conservative Network, well, the Exceptional Conservative Show. I am also the owner of the Exceptional Conservative Network out of Washington, D.C. On this particular very profound day, and not just American, but world, I greet you and I thank you all for sharing this particular moment, this iconic moment that changed not only the people of the United States of America, but changed everything around the world.
Yes, and I just want to say hello to everybody. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good evening to everyone else, and good afternoon to everybody in the United States, and hello to everyone around the planet. This is a very special simulcast. We are proud to welcome Ken McClinton here with us. He's a tremendous man of God and a stalwart podcaster. Ken, I believe this might be your 10th year or close to it, maybe more.
Wow.
And we wanted to have you here with us for this special observance, to get your commentary and everything. And I want to start, if you don't mind, Ken was asking me a question over at TECN. And Ken, if you'd like to ask me that question again, I will do my best to answer it, and then I'll throw it over to the host of the English Defense League radio show, Jeff Mitchell, to get his perspective.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Dave, for allowing us to do this simulcast together, EDL at Blog Talk Radio, the Exceptional Conservative Show at TECN TV. Normally, I'm not even awakened this afternoon, so it's not sure. But my query, and it's open to Jeff Mitchell as well as and the rest of the world, is on a day that the President of the United States in America remembers 14 to 16 guys coming together to attack the nation, not just at the Twin Towers, but also at the Pentagon in a plane that actually fell in Pennsylvania headed for the White House. How does it feel knowing that 18 years later, you have Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez all sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives, along with two other Muslim members of the Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood, sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives? How does that make you feel? And did we do what we were supposed to do when in remembrance of this particular attack? Dave, if you would.
All right, Ken, you heard me say this on TECN. I hate to say this, but it feels like in a way that bin Laden and the Wahhabists won, because the infiltration of our political system has begun in earnest. And I know that that Jeff will have something to say about this, because his political system has been riddled with Mohammedans to the hilt. And as far as have we done what we needed to do? No, we haven't even really begun to do what we need to do, in our opinion. And this goes wider, Ken, even than the United States of America. This also goes into the UK. It's a reason partly why I originally teamed up on EDL Radio with Jeff and with the crew there, because the evil that Islam represents will migrate, and it has begun that migration into the United States. All the things that I warned about, I warned my fellow Americans about for years, that it was coming, that it was already in the UK and it was coming to the United States, had begun to happen. This chills me to the bone, and it has to be fought. Jeff, your response to Ken's question.
Yeah, and also I'd like to welcome you, Ken. To have you here. You're a great gentleman, a great commentator, and all the great things you do. But that question to me is, what keeps ringing through my head is what that Ilhan Omar, whatever, said. Oh, this something happened. Some people done some stuff. And I don't know how you feel, Ken. I don't know how you feel, Dave. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted to the people like them say things like that of what we saw unfold. Oh, it's just some people done some things. How dare they? How dare they? It's just, it blows me mind. It does, Ken. And I don't know how you feel about it. I know, Dave, how you feel about it. I think it's disgraceful. I do think that these are pretty dark times, and I think the trouble of this country is at this moment in time that God's gone out of the country a bit. I mean, it's been happening in the US as well, and I think once you take God away from a country, God out of the country, this is what we descend into, some sorts of chaos. But there's a lot of us that still shine in the light. Ken, you're one of those, a great pastor, and the great works you do. And same with Dave and many others. You know, someone's got to shine a light. Someone's got to stand up. And you know, I always keep my, my shield of the Lord around me. You know, when I do these radio shows, it's that's what keeps me strong. That's what makes me move forward. But we do live in dark times. Things are going to get worse. Dave often said this, the things are going to get worse. We do realise that, and I think we've got to be, have our feet, our feet firmly on the ground, because, before the light, there's the dark. We are surrounded in dark at the moment. Unfortunately, we've seen since 9/11 that tragic, absolutely horrific event that unfolded. We've seen, Dave, I'm not sure the statistics, I think there's been over 27 or 28,000 attacks of these cultists of death across the world. That's what we've seen. So have we? Yeah, we hit them hard, and of course your great president has totally wiped out the caliphate in Syria. Well, there are still different pockets, but unfortunately, you've got to really work hard to clean them out. And I know there's still some bombing runs that's going on one of the lines there. I know there was a big run the other day. That's what I heard, anyway. So it seems that this problem isn't just going to, ain't going to go away, because there's people that pop up. There's always other new groups that pop up, except, these sort of things happen. But that's how I feel about that, Ken, as what we're seeing. It still infuriates me to think we've got the same problems over here as you. And we've got some terrible people. But they've been put in positions. They're there to destroy everything that, your forefathers the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, this, that, and the other. They're trying to destroy that. They're trying to take away your first, your second, your third, fifth, fourth, fifth. They're trying to take away everything that your forefathers have put together. And that's how I want to answer the question towards you again. There you go.
Let me be as robust and banefully contemptible as I possibly can to those who are listening around the world, which is why I get banned off of Google and Facebook and every other leftist platform that there is possibly ever created. That's why I have my own television. We pussified under George W. Bush our support and our response to the enemy at hand. The enemy at hand is not the Taliban. It's not the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not Turkey. It's not Iran. The enemy at hand is Muslim Islam.
Mm-hmm.
That is the enemy at hand. And the bottom line is whether you fight it with political correctness or you fight it with silence, you will lose the battle on every given day. Jesus was a savior, but he did not allow his disciples to go into the world without weapons of mass destruction. First the word and then the sword.
There you are.
Please, without a shadow of a doubt, that we have had over 2,000 years of experience with jihadism. And the story works this way. Slight infiltration, political correctness, overthrow of nations, oppression, slavery, destruction. Whether it's Libya, whether it's Kenya, whether it's Saudi Arabia, it doesn't matter. Our enemy is Islam. And until the people of God rise up and fight back, we shall watch our hallways be cluttered with the blood and the unwashed penance of those individuals who innocently went and bowed their heads to those who with a sickle and a sword would cut it off.
Amen to that, Ken. And I just want to say really quickly.
What can I say?
Here's the figure, Jeff. Hang on, Jeff. You were talking about the attacks since 9/11. According to the Religion of Peace, there have been, get this, people, since 9/11, 18 years ago, there have been 35,612 attacks in the name of Islam since 9/11, according to the Religion of Peace. So please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I underestimated that figure, didn't I, Dave? I thought I was bad.
Yeah.
All right, but my goodness me, I underestimated it. This goes to show you, doesn't it, Dave? And Ken, you are right. I think until people decide that this is the cult of death. I can't call, you know, when they call it, they say it's a religion of peace, Ken. I don't know how it makes you, it just makes me feel sick to my stomach. It's anything but. It's Islam is from Satan. I mean, that's it. It's definitely the dark side, and it's what we must fight. It's what we are here for, isn't it, Ken and Dave? That is what we're here for. And people say, oh, we can't declare war on Islam. Why can't we? They've declared war on us. They're biting people out left, right, and centre. There's a genocide going on with Christianity, isn't there, Ken? Why shouldn't we fight back? Time to fight back and hit them hard like they've never known before. That's the way I feel about it now, because we talked about this for years, haven't we, Dave? And I know you have, Ken, that it's sometimes you just got to take your gloves off. You can't fight a politically correct war. You cannot do it. But these politicians of ours decided that this is our, we've got to have a conduct of engagement. And look how many guys have died because of this PC way of going about. Look at people being thrown in prison because they were doing their duty on the battlefield. You know, that's some of my thoughts and prayers, of course, go out to what happened on 9/11. But it brings it home to you that we've gone 18 years on and we still got a serious issue. The cultists of death are still doing what they do. Destroy nations, doing what they planned all along, from the time they were born to right now as we talk, as planning things as we talk. Dave?
There, Jeff and Jeff Mitchell and Jeff Spider Mitchell, because that's the sexy way to Dave Milner is with us this particular day on TECN TV. I'm your host, Kevin Clinton, host of the Exceptional Conservative Show, owner of TECN TV. I don't mind getting into trouble for the things that I say. I'd rather warn you than for you to be hit by the brick wall that's coming towards you. I want you all to know that whether it's in conservative media, whether it's in our political hallways, we have been decimated by those who have embraced political correctness so that they can be liked and they can be loved by the leftist media. And I want you to understand, whether it's the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ at the P, or the jihadists of the Islamic religion or cult that it is, it doesn't matter. They are all out to oppress and to take that which you live freely for. The unfortunate thing is that have been shamed into trying to love something that's going to hate us to death. And quite frankly, when you see one of the Islamists or one of the in the parliament or one of the Islamists in the U.S. House of Representatives, what they are saying to you, if you study the Quran and the Hadith and all the other pieces, is where we step, we own. Where we step, we control. Where we step, we shall reign. They shall reign over England. They shall reign over the U.S. They shall reign over Israel if we continue to embrace political correctness and allow the flow of deviant thought and as well emasculating oppression and de-womanizing tyrants to take over our land. They will do it subtly, and then eventually they shall do it utterly, with the destruction of our Twin Towers being an example of how powerful their actual how violent they would be towards us. That's another way of saying it.
yeah, Jeff. Well, Ken, I get you, man. I mean, that's you are preaching the truth here. It is something that we have talked about for years, fellas. We have a full slate of some audios in it. One of the things about 9/11 that we do is we always talk about our experience on that day, and people on our shows, our 9/11 shows, have heard my 9/11 memories and Jeff's. But Ken, if you'd like to take some time, Jeff, with your permission, please give us your impressions of what you went through on that day, and please walk us through it, brother.
Well, let me just say, first and foremost, because I've enjoyed this simulcast, I'm looking forward to EDL someday appearing live on TECN TV. We got to work out the details, but I thank God for what Jeff Mitchell and what you do, Dave Milner, every Sunday and every, I believe it's Thursday, that you're on the air. I thank God for what you all do, because you are the lighthouse to many a ship that has been led astray in the oceans of political correctness and mutual damnation. So thank God for what you all do. Continue to do it. Be strong, be bold, and continue to recruit others to become citizen journalists to the world. In the studio in which I sit right now, it's the same room I sat in 18 years ago. 18 years ago, I wasn't the world-renowned commentator. I wasn't anything more than a father, a pastor, and a husband. And I dropped my daughters off at school on that particular 9/11 day. And I was going to prepare myself because I was headed to Wall Street, believe it or not. I was about to be interviewed for a position there. And I was getting myself prepared, and all of a sudden, a plane goes into the South and then the North Towers. And in a moment, I was caught up in a daze. I had never seen such barbarianism in person. No one sees that in America. It just doesn't happen that way. We talk about mass shootings, but nothing of 2,937 people dying all at once. And the first thing I thought about was get my girls. And so I grabbed my keys, I got in my car, and I drove, and I picked up my daughters, one from St. Thomas, or the other from Bishop McNamara, and I brought them home, and I gave them the biggest hug I possibly could, and then let them go to the room. But in that moment, I realized that I was able to do something that over 4,000 families would not be able to do throughout America. And that was the whole thing. I want you to know that as packed.
Go ahead, Ken. That was what an amazing testimony. I mean, what you said there, I was quite, it moved me because, I see it unfolding on the TV. You know, I was watching something, all of a sudden it flicked over, and you see this this plane, and then of course the commentators were saying it was we don't know why they was flying so low, you know, and it was just a boom and this, that, and the other. Of course, we were all thinking, wasn't we, Ken? What's going on? What's going on? Those poor people in the floors above. How the firemen, how the rescue was going to get to these people? And I was thinking, and the plane had gone in, and you know, how many people might have died on those floors that had enveloped in flames. And it was,
yeah,
it was like watching, I don't know if you agree with me, Ken, I was watching a film of a disaster movie. But this was real life. People was dying as we was watching, wasn't it? It was just the most, yeah. I'll never ever forget it. I'll never forget the way that the day panned out. And it was, it was when that second plane went in, and I realised, my goodness me, we are under attack, because the whole world just lit up. Everybody, airports were being closed down, air flights were being cancelled. You know, everybody wasn't sure if this was going to be a coordinated attack throughout the free world. We didn't know, did we, Kim? It was just, it was confusion.
Well,
it was total confusion.
I'm going to tell you what I knew that we were under attack immediately. I was different from everyone else. I had already noted that. No one flies an airplane into the Twin Towers. It just doesn't happen. Not by accident. We've had so many years of LaGuardia and JFK. No one does that. I knew instantly that we were at war. The unfortunate thing is we were listening through the lens and through the audio of leftist media that was trying to tell us that these were accidents. We don't know what's going on. Anyone that tells you, after looking at those pictures, ladies and gentlemen, of airplanes going into the towers, that you did not know that we are at war, then you have been confounded by the leftists. I'm going to tell you right now, and we're going to get ready to sign off of TECN TV, and I thank God for you allowing me to come on EDL. I'm going to tell you all right now, the moment of subtlety is gone. The moment of naivety is gone. We are at war, and whether our leaders, and they should be servants, but whether our leaders say it or not, we are still at war, and they will not be satisfied until you bow before Allah. May we, as nations under God, never bow to the enemy, whether domestic or foreign, who tells us that the name of God is not Jesus. God bless you all. Thank you all so much for allowing me on the program. That was EDL simulcasting.
Ken, we love you, brother. Thank you.
Love
yeah,
you,
Ken, you're God. Awesome, buddy. I love you, man, you know. You do great works. God bless you, Ken.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Jeff, that was tremendous.
Been listening Skunkhead. Good day.
Go ahead.
Sorry, mate. No, it's,
no. It's okay, brother.
Kenneth McClinton as the exceptional, as a commentator and chief executive officer of the Exceptional Conservative Network. And they've done a simultaneous broadcast with the radio show through TSN. That was absolutely awesome. It was so lovely to have Ken join us, and he speaks what we say every week. We speak about it. This is war. When are people going to realise that this is war? This is war. Time for the gloves to come off. Stop this political correctness. It's killing us. It is killing us, isn't it, Dave? This political correctness. Nations have been being destroyed through political correctness. This garbage has been spun out there. But, well, no, it was awesome to have Ken on. And just to let you know, Dave, and I didn't want to say too much at the time, but we've got a great gentleman that's joined us in the chat, and that's Tim Tapp. He's an absolutely awesome gentleman. He's got his own show on Blog Talk Radio as
yes,
well.
Yes, he does.
It's a thank you for the welcome. I'll be listening in as I'm working. I know, Tim, that I couldn't miss today's show. God bless you, brother. Thank you for joining us this evening.
So amen to that. Great to see Tim in the chat, even though I can't see the chat. You know, it's great to have you. Tim is a really good podcaster in his own right. And, Tim, if you want to give Jeff the info on your show, I'm sure he'll be glad to pass it on to folks. Again, I just want to give a shout out to Ken if he's still possibly able to hear. Just again, thank you. You've been a tremendous friend. You're a great pastor. He even talked me through a few things just recently here. He's a true man of God, and he's a true soldier for civilization, as you guys just heard. So please, check out the Exceptional Conservative Network, TECN-TV. The Exceptional Conservative Show is on at 9:05 p.m. Eastern on weekdays. That's 3:05.
Night does the radio, but is it a TV show as well, brother?
That's 3:05 a.m. In the UK. So for you night owls or you guys in the UK, Jeff, they're up a little bit early. Yeah, it actually is a TV show. He does run video. When he was talking to us, even though we weren't running video, he was running some slides that I had presented to him, pictures of you and myself and, other things. He has some great people on the TECN, in the TECN family, Mr. Raynard Jackson, Dr. Jane Ruby, who I'm hoping we will be able, Jeff, to interview. She's a tremendous, news hound. Okay, if there is an American version, Jeff, of Jan Rennie when it comes to news gathering and knowledge about Islam, it's Dr. Jane Ruby. Definitely want to get her on, and I'm going to get into negotiations to get her in, brother. But, folks, we're talking about 9/11. Today, and Jeff has seen the stuff that we have to run. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about this time was the heroes that don't immediately spring to mind. Of course, we recognize and have the deepest respect for the NYPD, the firefighters, the EMTs, all of those people who would just naturally be expected to be recognized on this day. But there were others. There were civilians who were involved in the efforts to help out during that day and the days after. And some of those civilians were amateur radio operators. Now, some people call them ham operators. What these people are people who, you know, have the hobby of taking their radios and talking to each other from across the city or from around the world. And there are some enthusiasts who, well, they just like radio. Some of them build their own radios. And since early on in the 20th century, they have been involved in helping with emergency communications when normal things like telephone lines and other technologies break down. Okay. And Jeff, if you'll allow, I'm going to go ahead and play an interview that that Bloomberg did with a radio amateur about their response and what they did on 9/11.
Go ahead, Dave. I look forward to listening to this, brother.
All right, guys. This is going to be about 3 minutes and 20 seconds. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show, which had a wonderful simulcast with the Exceptional Conservative Network.
When a catastrophe like the World Trade Center attack occurs, police, firefighters, and rescue crews spring into action. So do ham radio operators. Joining us live on the Bloomberg 1130 business hotline now, Charles Hargrove, the New York City coordinator of Amateur Radio Emergency Service. Welcome to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Well, in the hours immediately after the attack, phone service in New York City was sporadic, as many of you recall. In some cases, phone service didn't even exist in parts of the city. On that first day, and maybe the day after or so, bring us up to speed on how ham radio operators perform. What'd they do?
Well, starting from the morning of the actual disaster itself, telephones were going in and out. We had cell phones and Nextels that were basically knocked out of commission completely at the World Trade Center location. And one of our functions in amateur radio is to provide backup communications for entities like the Office of Emergency Management as well as Red Cross and Salvation Army. So when OEM was going through their problems and had to evacuate their offices and into a command bus, they only had 2 radio channels available to them on their own system, but no cell phones, no Nextels, and I was able to keep in contact with them from here and at the same time rally up the troops, so to speak, in the rest of the city to get themselves ready for assignment. And as it turned out, Red Cross needed us very quickly to help in setting up the shelters. And they had no communications that would suffice for all 12 shelters in one shot. So that's where we dispatched the radio operators.
Mr. Hargrove, what kind of information are you relaying? What are the details?
Well, depending upon what part of the operation, as they were setting up, there were requests for specific supplies like cots and blankets and food and maybe certain personnel like mental health officials and things like that. And as time went on, the people back at the Red Cross headquarters needed to know updates on how many clients were there, what their needs were, changes in personnel, certain sensitive information. Of course, we found alternate means of getting the information through, but the basics went across on the amateur radio channels.
Now, many people think that ham radio is a hobby, and obviously you had to jump into action rather quickly here. We saw those towers that many of the broadcasters had go down with the World Trade Center. So how did you operate?
Well, each amateur radio operator has their own equipment, personally owned, that they use during non-emergency times, either for practicing by doing public service event communications and things like that, you know, walkathons, New York City Marathon. We have over 400 amateur radio operators that participate with that. Chit-chatting like normal between friends, hobby-type conversations, nets and things like that. Because we each own our own equipment, we don't have to go to a central location to pull it from. For example, I always carry a walkie-talkie on my belt. So that's why as soon as I saw the towers get hit, one radio goes on for my connection to OEM, another one goes on to connect to the other ham radio operators through our own local repeaters we have spread out throughout New York City, which are personally owned.
Well, we're glad that everything worked well for you and that you could help out in a time of need.
Well, we can certainly use a lot more help as far as people to join us.
Well, leave it there. Thanks for being with us. Charles Hargrove, New York City coordinator of the amateur radio.
That's amazing.
There you go, guys.
Absolutely
yeah.
Amazing. We love the ham radio. Because comes the times of crisis, they always jump in. They are awesome people. Like you said, Dave, these are the unsung heroes. You know, make sure medical issue, medical things are getting through, communications, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's and that's what he said, we're still short on radio ham. So anybody out there, guys, you know, put a bit of effort in. It's great fun as well. You can have some great times being a radio ham. Am I right, Dave? I've got another friend who's a radio ham, actually, on here, on Discord, actually, a friend of mine. So I talk to him quite often, and I just find it, it's great to talk to people all over the world, man.
Well, Tim Burton, who was with our show for years, is an amateur radio operator in the UK as well. It is fun. You know, I am also an amateur radio operator. It's a great way to, especially before the internet. And we have to remember, guys, that it's really easy to forget that that Wi-Fi wasn't available everywhere, and we didn't have smartphones. And all of this wireless hoop-de-doo that we do now, it's really easy to forget that that was the case back then. The wireless communications that that were available often were through the radio amateurs. And what they do, Jeff, over here in the States, and I'm sure they do it in the UK as well, is usually here in the States, it's in the summer, they have what they call amateur radio field day. They'll take the equipment portable, and they'll set up little tents and whatnots, and they'll communicate with each other again across town, across the state, across the region, across the country, as practice, just as the man said, so that they can be prepared for any kind of natural disasters, or in this case, Jeff, the 9/11. Attack. It really says a lot about the spirit of volunteerism that that these guys were prepared, out there and ready to go, and they did the thing. They did what they do, and it is just again some of the
inspirational, isn't it, Dave? It's totally inspirational.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Jeff. Totally inspiration. And, civilians in these things are often do a lot, and we don't get to hear about them much. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We've done 9/11 shows here on the English Defense League radio show from the beginning. I think the first one I wasn't here for. But I know that they did one. You guys did one that year, and we've done them every year since. And it sometimes gets difficult to bring a new angle to the coverage and everything. And we have to reach sometimes, but it isn't much of a reach here to find ordinary people who did some studying and who had, as said, that spirit of volunteerism, who were prepared to step up and help. Jeff, so there definitely
seven
is.
7 years
is
ago,
that,
Dave, when we done a special, that was all the blog talk radio hosts, we all got together and done a 24-hour marathon of the, this is like every 2 hours each. And this went around, and it was pretty awesome, people. You know, it just,
that's amazing.
At that time, I was with Kel Fritz, who's no longer who's passed away a little while ago. I remember she had a problem with her computer at the time, and she didn't use the phone, and we had loads of names that we had to read out, and I'll never forget that. That was one of the first EDL memorial things that we did, and it was a lot of people said it was exceptional. You know, it was brilliant, and it was just it was really hard because you when you're reading names, you know, it's like yourself, Dave. Every name, you know, it's a soul. It's someone who's not with us no more. And, so that's it, and we've done it ever since, haven't we? Every year that's gone by, we've always, and we will continue. As long as this show exists, we will always do a memorial for 9/11/77. This is what we do.
Yes.
This is what we're here to do. Go ahead, Dave.
Absolutely, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff. Well, you know, that's something that I appreciate. And I hope it's something that the listeners appreciate, because one of the things that, you know, guys, we've been preparing for this show in a sense. We've been preparing for this show for almost a month. Jeff and I, before we went on vacation in August, Ken McClinton was with us as just a regular guest on the show. And we, you know, I kind of buttonholed him and said, hey, you know, you want to be with us for our 9/11 special. So in a sense, we've been preparing for this for a while. And, you know, this is what we do. This is the kind of thing that, that we do, because one of the things that I thought about during the time intervening was the fact that it's going to be that it is 18 years since the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
Yet a child that was born today, 18 years ago, will be voting in the 2020 election, and they have absolutely no memory of 9/11. And, you know, as deeply as it affected myself and Ken, who lives in Washington, D.C., so you can imagine how worried he was for his daughters and his wife. And Jeff, who is across the pond, as deeply as it affected us, those kids have absolutely no memory or connection to it. And that, Jeff, I think is the biggest reason why we should keep doing these specials. Jeff, what I'm thinking about here, I know it may be a bit early for you to call back in, but I'm looking at the clock. And there's a tune that I know you wanted to play in memoriam for the fallen. So if you think it's time to call back in, you're about 3 minutes shy of when you usually do. I can go ahead and play that tune. What do you think?
Yeah, I wanted to. I'll tell you what, Dave. Can we play the tune? Because I just love hearing that tune. It's one of those haunting tunes, isn't it? And I'll take a break soon after, maybe another clip that we can play, and I'll take a break in between that. If that's good with you, Dave?
Yeah, we do have other clips, guys. You know, there's going to be a lot more to this program. You know, we're going to be recognizing other unsung heroes of 9/11, and we're going to be remembering. And this is a tune that Jeff picked out. Often I pick out the music, you know, but Jeff, our musical tastes can be somewhat similar, and we both love this song. This is about 3 minutes. This is 3 minutes and 37 seconds long. We're going to play this for the fallen, for the injured, for the damaged of 9/11. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Who can say if you love or grow?
so beautiful and so haunting, isn't it? As I was listening to that, Dave, I was having pictures in my head of the events of that day. How about you, Dave, with you? I just saying, I was just having different pictures flick through my mind, like I do every year, believe it or not. But, Dave, that was beautiful. Thanks for that, buddy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. You're the one that picked it, man. And, you know, I mean, we just, you know, Jeff's the captain of this ship. And, you know, I just do my best to, you know, to do the Mr. Spock thing and go along with what, you know, with Jeff. And we're a team. We're a team here.
We're all
and,
We're a great team, aren't we, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Jeff. You know, but if you'd like to call back in, I'm going to go ahead and introduce this next clip. And heck, you might even get called all the way back in by the time I get ready to play the clip.
Go for it, Dave.
All right. Now, folks, we're talking about 9/11 today, and we're remembering the unsung heroes. Now, there are fewer people more unsung, I have to say, than people who work in call centers, customer service people, and people of that nature. And I'll tell you guys, on a personal level, I've done two kinds of those jobs. And you want to talk about unsung and thankless. Those have to characterize what those jobs are like. There's a lot of turnover in jobs like that. There are very few people who will stay with those jobs for longer than a year or two. It's because it's a voice on the phone, and there are some people who just can't help themselves. The voices on the phones are representing the companies that people are angry with, and they can't get at the executives in the companies or whatever. So the people who work the call centers get the abuse. And so you can understand why it is that there is so much turnover on these jobs. But on September the 11th, 2001, there were people working in a certain call center that were routing calls from people who were worried about their loved ones. And just want you guys to give this a listen. This, guys, is going to be just over 2.5 minutes long. Just give this a listen. And next time you do call someone in a call center, remember, that's another human being on the end of that phone, okay? You're listening now, guys, to the English Defense League radio show, our 9/11 observance simulcast with the Exceptional Conservative Network.
Now a story you'll see only on 12, a 9/11 story we're hearing for the first time. Phone lines were jammed immediately following the attacks, and those searching for loved ones were given an emergency number to call. We now know thousands of those calls came right here to Wisconsin. Employees at a We Energy's call center volunteered to answer those frantic calls for help. Tonight, they are sharing their heart-wrenching conversations.
As if I took the call this morning, they're in my head probably till the day I die. I'll hear these voices.
And you have people calling and they say, my loved one was in, you know, the tower, and do you know where they are? And
the one I had was from a father, a spouse, his wife. He was looking for his wife who had taking their son.
It frankly felt great to be able to do something. And I remember feeling so helpless. And so we got an opportunity not many people had that day. We could do something. We could take some action.
I felt very honored that we were asked to provide assistance. I don't know if they thought we were there at the scene, but he kept saying, she works on the same side of the building that was hit.
It was a sister who was looking for her brother, who was a firefighter, and the fact that he was off duty and he went into the building, it shook me to my core because I don't think I could have done that.
I do remember one call specifically. It was a daughter looking for her dad. He wasn't supposed to be at the World Trade Center that day. He was called into an emergency meeting.
And all of a sudden, I heard this piercing scream. It was like blood-curdling scream in the back. She screamed on the phone and dropped the phone. And I kept waiting, and I can hear people screaming and crying in the background. In about 2 minutes, somebody else came on the phone. It wasn't the same lady, crying. He just walked in the front door. He just walked in the door. Thank you so much. Thank you. She hung up.
Because of call confidentiality, the We Energies workers weren't allowed to talk publicly until now and don't know to this day what happened to the 9/11 victims callers asked about. All of the information they gathered was passed along to federal authorities to help locate and identify victims.
There you go, Jeff.
That was a very moving, Dave. And I was quite moved listening to those poor ladies who got to listen and hear screams in the background, etc., as one of the buildings went down. Oh, Dave, when you think about it, it just changes their whole lives. You was in a call centre, and these are some of the most important calls you're taking from people that's not known whether their loved ones are there or if they've survived or not made it to that day or just about to approach the building. It's that's a heart-wrenching thing. As I think of everybody, that it touched everybody's hearts and souls, didn't it? So many good people were doing so many good things. There were so many heroes out there. We heard about the office worker, didn't we, Dave? That guy, he was trying to get everybody out. He was doing, people panicking. He says, yeah, come on, this guy. And he lost his life, I think. Some of them did get away, but he was holding back for the rest to get out, and he lost his life. And it was heartbreaking to hear that story. It was on a TV documentary, Dave, I think it was. But
right.
He wasn't thinking about himself. He was just thinking about his workers. That's all he cared about. That's what I'm saying. It's just that people got exceptionally, doing things that they wouldn't normally do. But in that position, I think it's all hands to the pump, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, Jeff, it is. I mean, people find what they can do, and that's it. And it's about caring for their fellow human being. I mean, God's hand was on a lot of people that day. And one of the things that I've thought about was that if those planes had hit the World Trade Center an hour later, the death toll would have probably been in the tens of thousands instead of just what it was. So God's hand was even there in that. Because there was, of course, we hear stories, and I've got one of myself of people who survived because they were late to work that day. There's one that may be apocryphal, I don't know, but there's one story of a guy who walked out of his apartment ready to go to work that day, and a pigeon crapped all over his suit jacket, which I'm sure to people in New York is not an unusual thing because it's New York. Well, Jeff, you come from London, so you know this. I mean, the pigeons are everywhere. They're basically rats with wings.
They have a shit on your head, or they do it down your jacket, don't they, Dave? That's it, mate.
Oh yeah, and that happened to this one guy. He had to go in and change, and he was late for work, and that's why he's alive today. It does happen.
Do you think because of the loss, do you think sometimes he feels guilty that he survived? Do people get like that? Sometimes they, with what happened, because you wasn't there, that people sometimes feel guilty because they wasn't there? Or I don't know. You hear these stories, don't you, Dave, all the time of I feel so bad, I put my friends around me and I survived. You know, they're the stories that we heard coming out over the years, didn't we, Dave? These type of stories, people feel
that's
guilty.
That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective, Jeff. And yeah, you're right. I mean, of course, this happens with natural disasters and things of that nature. But it happened with 9/11 as well. There have been many cases of survivor's guilt. People who just for one reason or another got out when their coworkers did not. This is why 9/11 haunts us even today. There are people who wake up with nightmares even today, 18 years later. This is still fresh in their minds, and it is another reason why we can't do what MSNBC over here in the States has done, which it is my understanding that they are going to have no special observance of this 9/11 anniversary. MSNBC is not going to have any special observance of that this year. They stopped.
They are soulless,
yeah.
Dave. How can you not? It just proves that the mainstream media, CNN and all those lot, your days are numbered. Mm-hmm. There's new people coming and they're telling the truth. They're telling it. And you are the old dinosaurs. Goodbye and good riddance, you soulless lot. Dave, I'd say that.
Jeff, you know what? That's the thing. I mean, at this point, they're not even really making any money. They're just on the air, and they're being supported by the lefties, and that's basically it, because they're losing their audiences left, right, and center, my friend. They're like Pravda used to be in the old Soviet Union, and still is in Russia today. But they're like Pravda was in the old Soviet Union. Yeah, if you wanted to stay healthy, you know, you were seen with a copy of Pravda under your arm, right? You know, but nobody who read it figured that there was any truth in it. I mean, there might have been truth about, you know, in like the soccer scores or something like that, but everything else, then it was crap. Again, it was the politically correct thing to have back in those days.
Don't mind that. I've just got to mention about Rhea Bowe, the Sunday Long Live radio show. She's been stomping all over CNN and all those other ones out there, and she's stomping them. So it's always good to see CNN are taking a whack in, and all those other ones that we detest so much, and good to see common sense people putting radio shows out that we want to listen to. That's right, isn't it, Dave? That's what we want to listen to.
Well, I mean, you know, this distrust that they themselves have created is why they can't make any money at this stage. She's not the only one. The podcasters are basically taking over as people giving them their patronage goes.
Hallelujah for the Patriots. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I mean, you have people like Ken McClinton with his great PECN. You have AFR in the United States, American Family Radio, and of course you have all these blog talk radio shows, including ours, and all of them are beginning to make inroads and beginning to make a difference, because the people, even the lefties, and this is something that they'll never admit, even the lefties are beginning to tune in to people like us because they're finding the truth with us. And that is a big thing. Now, Jeff, we've got one here. This one, I have to admit, brother, you know, I shared this with you. There are a couple of these. And I shared this with you, and I have to admit, this one was a bit tough for me to process and get into the studio for reasons I think the second one will definitely clue people in as to why. But Jeff, I've got this one clip I want to run. This is about 3 minutes and 25 seconds long. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and run this. You ready, brother?
Yeah, please do. Dave, let's roll.
Okay. Now, this is a clip about other unsung heroes of 9/11, guys, and I think you're really going to like this. When you're listening to the English Defense League radio show, simulcasting with the Exceptional Conservative Network.
The idea got started from one of our supporters who had seen the second plane hit the second tower. She watched the search and rescue dogs and the other canines serve tirelessly every day, and she felt that there had not been any recognition of the dogs. So she approached us about doing something. We thought that was a worthwhile cause, and as we began to research it, we found out there had not been any national recognition. And that led to the beautiful and patriotic ceremony that we had on 9/11 at Liberty State Park. A lot of people and the dogs never got any recognition for all the work that they did for 9/11. They're not looking for any rewards. They're not looking for any honors. They do that because that's what they do. And it takes a lot more work than people realize. As the parade began to assemble, there were 100 American flags lining Liberty Way with the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island bearing witness. The wind came up and the flags were flying so proudly straight out. The route was lined with breeds of dogs who were currently serving search and rescue. They were there to honor the 9/11 teams that served. We literally had teams from the East Coast and all the way through the country, the West Coast.
As they marched and came down the walkway, the setting was very, very beautiful. And all of those that were there to walk through that arch was a feeling that I would never forget. To see the tears, to see the emotions of all of these people paying tribute to the dogs and to those who served our country so well.
As the Joint Service Guard leading our parade got to the corner of Liberty Way, unexpectedly to us, the families who had been at Ground Zero for their solemn ceremony were coming back on the ferry, and they merged. It was actually a moment that I will never forget in my entire life. And as our parade moved forward and they stood in line to go through the Arch of Honor, the looks on the faces of the 9/11 honorees moved me to tears. I was literally put my head down. I was weeping. And I looked at their faces and there was so much emotion I didn't really know how to define it. It was just an honor for them to experience. And I have to say, I've done a lot of things in my life, but I have never been more humbled.
There you go, Jeff.
I'm just trying to gather myself, Dave, because I was moved, Dave. That was so emotional listening to that. The humanity. This is the best of humanity, ladies and gentlemen. This is it when people come together. There was a loss, but it brings everybody together and the love and the compassion. That is what God inspires us with this, being human beings and sharing our hurt with each other. A troubled shed is a troubled bed, is something like that, it says, Dave, you know, and everybody was for looking out for each other. And, Dave, that was quite moving. I gathered myself at the end there. Thank you, Dave. That was really, wow, powerful stuff, brother. Thank you.
Well, that's, you know, that's only the beginning, Jeff. I mean, we had, we do have a couple more to go here. One particular dog that the last one, the last known dog who was in operations on 9/11 was a pooch named Bertan, I think it was. And we have a couple of clips here. I want to play the first one. This was done in 2015 to celebrate her 16th birthday. She celebrated her 16th birthday in New York. She was based in Texas. She and her handler were based in Texas, and she went back to New York with her handler to celebrate her 16th birthday. This is going to be about a minute long. You ready, brother?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All right, here we go, guys.
On September 11th, 2001, Britannia, the Golden Retriever, went to New York City to help with rescue efforts. Now the last surviving rescue dog from the World Trade Center attacks. The pooch came back to New York to celebrate her 16th birthday. Oh, she toured New York in style Wednesday. She got into a limo from the airport, got a big happy birthday message on a big screen in Times Square. Here's a look at some of the highlights from the brave dog's sweet 16.
Hi, Gracie. You are going to have the most amazing birthday weekend.
Wow.
Have you here at One Hotel Central Park?
And Jeff, and listeners, Britannia did not quite make it to her 17th birthday. We have one more clip to play of that. I'm going to get into this now.
Thank you, guys.
She served her country by deploying to the World Trade Center's 9/11 disaster. She deployed to Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, several other deployments. Once she retired, she then moved on to serve her community here, where for the past 3 years she has gone once a week to Robert Rhodes Elementary School in Waller and read with the first graders there.
Well, there you go, just right into
wow.
The end.
What a beautiful dog, eh? I'll be honest with you, Dave. It was a she, was it? She lived an excellent age, 16, in a dog's age. She's very, very old, mate. So,
absolutely,
It was absolutely brilliant that she lived through that and she seared days out. And it seemed like she was having great fun in her retirement, wasn't she, Dave? Bless
she
her.
She was, yeah.
Bless all the serving dogs that served that day. We'll never forget, as you say, they're the unsung heroes, but not to a lot of people. And she made a lot of friends, didn't she?
She did, and Denise she did, and I want to say that Denise Corliss was her handler through all that time. You know, we have to recognize the hardworking people that are along with those canine teams. They have a special skill with special working animals that really saved lives. You heard it, Jeff, not just on 9/11, but afterward, just keeping on serving. But I want to hit one more.
Trainer and all that, she was involved with. It's amazing. Yeah. That. What a story. I hope there's a book written about the dogs. I really do, because they so much deserve it, don't they? The recognition of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do, yeah. And, you know, there's going to be one more here that I've got, Jeff, and this will be our last clip for this program. And, you know, this is one of my own, brothers. This is about a particular dog. This comes from 2016, a couple of years ago. And here we go, guys. We're going to play this is just under 2 minutes long. Again, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show with a special simulcast with the Exceptional Conservative Network.
Tomorrow marks the 15th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Today, a man who made it out of one of the Twin Towers shared his story in Cary. CBS North Carolina's Bo Minnick tells us how that man, who is blind, was able to escape.
Just like everyone else, we ran to get away from the collapsing tower.
Michael Hingson's story isn't just one about survival. It's also a story of teamwork, escaping from the World Trade Center on September 11th without being able to see. He was in the North Tower when the first plane hit.
We were on the 78th floor on the north side of the building. We had no clue what happened.
Hingson has been blind since birth, but he had his guide dog, Roselle, with him. Together, they made their way down the staircase as a team.
So as we were going down the stairs, she had to sense all the fear from other people. It was my responsibility to be confident and encourage her. Good girl, Roselle. You're going down the stairs doing a good job.
And even when they became engulfed in the dust cloud, together they ran.
No way I would have been able to run successfully if it hadn't been for Roselle.
Roselle passed away in 2011, the same year Hingson published Thunder Dog, telling the story of a man and his guide dog.
People ask me what I thought about September 11th, what do I think about today?
Hingson lives in California now and speaks across the country. On the day before the 15th anniversary of 9/11, he spoke at the West Regional Library in Cary. There's now a new teammate by his side, his guide dog Africa. But the story of how he and Roselle survived will always live on.
I will remember Roselle. She was a great guide dog.
In Cary, Bo Minnick, CBS, North Carolina.
And wow. There you go, Jeff.
Guys, I think that rounded it all off. It was just amazing stories. A blind man escaping with the help of his guide. Now, come on, man. That is so... Stories should be writ about these stories, shouldn't they? Books should be writ. Films should be made. You know, it was so many stories out there that we shared with the listeners tonight. And I think a lot of our listeners out there probably think the same way. There should be stories written because they were the true heroes of the time, weren't they? Amazing stories. Thank you, Dave, for those clips. Awesome, brother, as usual.
Well, Jeff, you know, we are a team, and I brought this idea to you of doing this and by the way, Britannia, you know, was euthanized. She didn't quite make it to her 17th birthday. She was 16, and she was euthanized on June the 7th of 2016. On June the 7th, 2016, and you know, again, it was these kinds of stories that I suggested to Jeff that we do for this time, and he said, "Yeah, Dave, go for it." So, you know, this was our remembrance for 9/11 of this year, and we'll next year we'll do another, but we wanted to highlight these unsung heroes of that time. And
we did a bit different tonight. We did the real the stories behind the stories, Dave, and I think that's probably what the listeners love. That was, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about this evening have been so on, you know, what people think about what about the guy, you know, the dogs and the rescue dogs, and there you go. I think we've shared that with a lot of our listeners, how much love and respect those awesome dogs did during that terrible day of the attacks. They just was fearless, like the owners and like the firemen, like everybody else was running towards what was happening, trying to help do what they do. And that's it, you know, this is what we talk about. We'll be talking about, we've probably got some other things that we'll be talking about next year, but I guarantee we'll bring out stories you've probably never heard before. And that's what we'll always do, year in, year out. And we're never will we forget that day. We can't. It's embedded in us forever, isn't it, Dave, you know?
Yes.
Same as 7/7 and these things, they live with us forever. Go on, Dave.
Hey, no, no, Jeff. I was just in the amen corner, man. No, we won't forget these. We will never forget 9/11 or 7/7, 7/7 in the UK, and now of course 7/7 in Dallas as well. You know,
yeah.
these things are a part of our experience, and we must share them with our posterity, to use old language. In other words, with the younger generations, so that they don't forget that this wasn't just an historical event that happened way back when. This affected real people and real lives. And as I said earlier, there are people who are going to be affected by 9/11 and 7/7 as well, throughout their life.
Yeah.
And that's going to be for many years to come. And Jeff,
yeah, probably all their lives, people. It was tight,
yeah.
You know, it was especially I'm thinking of Martin. He's never going to forget.
Right.
He was one of those first people on the scene trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's affected him, and it'll probably affect him all his life. God bless him for what he did. Unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
You get these traumatic experiences due to some of the things you see. It doesn't always register when you're there on the scene and you're trying to help people. It's when you get home and that quiet moment, isn't it, Dave? And it all comes back, and it's pretty tough. But anyway, I think tonight's show with Ken, with his commentary tonight, and the story, his testimony, I'll call it his testimony, that was moving. We said, I got to my daughters, I just give them the biggest hug ever, and oh dear, I melted, Dave, you know what I mean? I melted. That was an awesome testimony. Thank
That's
you,
one of
Mr.
the things
Ken,
Ken does,
Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, amen to that, Jeff. And I want to thank Ken as well for being with us here on Blog Talk Radio, on the English Defense League radio show. And this, of course, is going to be repeated on SHR Media at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com and also on YouTube at the SHR Media page there. It'll be repeated on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of this month. This show will be, this simulcast will be split into three parts. So people, you know, if you missed it, you'll get it in manageable bites there. You know, that will be at my normal show times, by the way, Jeff, are 1 p.m. Eastern time in the United States, Monday through Friday, and at midnight Eastern in the United States on Saturdays. That would be 5 a.m. in the UK, and of course on the weekdays that would be 6 p.m. Weekdays. So the SHR Media will be involved in this as well. It has been a tremendous remembrance show for 9/11, no, we will never forget, and we will keep telling the truth, Jeff. We will stay on the line with great soldiers like Kenneth McClinton, and we will not let our posterity down. Yeah. So, Jeff, back to you, man. We're just about done.
Yeah, Dave. Once again, I've got to thank you for the slides, and I've got to thank Ken for coming and joining us and simulcasting the radio show. It was awesome tonight, and I always find it quite hard to do, you know, because I do get emotional doing the 9/11 day, because you just reflect back to the day, don't you? And it's still hard. It's still hard even now. These years have gone by. It's still fresh in our minds. But, Dave, I was wondering, to all of the listeners, I say, Tim Tapp's been listening to us this evening. He's been busy. He's been working. Thanks for joining us tonight, Tim. Bless you, brother. But, Dave, I was wondering, would you like to play us out tonight? Would you want to pick something and play us out? I don't want to finish it like I normally do. I want to finish it on something different. Would you like to choose something and be off himself?
Well,
Dave?
You know what? Let me see if I can find something appropriate. You know, I think that this song is appropriate. It's not one of the normal ones that we do. And I want to say just before we play out that our good friend and occasional guest, but we consider her still to be a teammate. Leslie Ann Stoffel is feeling better. She has been kind of under the weather, and she's feeling a little bit better now. Leslie, you know, we know that you said you'd be listening, and, you know, just from Jeff and myself and from Jan, we love you, and, you know, we want to see you back, and we want you well. So, and I want to say God bless to all the listeners. Guys, this was a fantastic show, and this is our play out.
Thanks, Todd. Wow. Dave, you must have read my mind or something. It was the best pick. Wow, that was awesome to end the, this live part of the show this evening. And, what a show that we've had tonight. We certainly have. But we'll be back again Sunday. We've got other stories and other things to talk about. And as you know, we'll hopefully hear a bit more about Mr. Tommy Robinson. If he's been released over the weekend or he's home now, we will find out in not too distant time. I've got a feeling he could be home already. But I'm not saying nothing. Don't say nothing, guys. Don't say nothing. But, Dave, once again, for all your hard work that you've done for this show, a lot of planning and great clips, as usual, great slides, the connection with Ken and everything, absolutely awesome tonight, Dave. So, as usual, I salute you, brother. God bless you for all what you do. And, yeah, we'll be back again this Sunday. So we'll have another great show. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight. And, we did things tonight, a little bit different from last year. We will do this every year. We'll find stories that have been shared, but not been quite highlighted. And we're going to highlight things like that every year. Isn't that right, Dave? That's what we will continue to do. I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. It's always hard to do these shows, and Dave feels the exact same as me, and Ken as well. So, what can I say? Once again, thank you, Ken, for joining us tonight. It was awesome. Dave and everybody, I'll wish you all a God bless, good night, and just be vigilant out there, ladies and gentlemen. Just be vigilant. And we'll see you this Sunday. Okay, this is the English Defence League Radio Show signing off for this evening, the 9/11 Memorial Evening. We'll see you Sunday. No surrender. No surrender ever. God bless.